Baptism. Who cares? Who cares? What's the big deal about baptism? Isn't baptism just an outdated ritual of the institutional church? It's an optional part of the church where you decide if you want to or when you are ready, when you feel ready. In today's world of create your own religion or faith, isn't baptism just one of those options that you can include or not? So I have a question for you. How many of you have a birth certificate? Okay, I see a lot of people with hands up that have a birth certificate. So why do you have a birth certificate? Do you have a birth certificate to in fact prove that you were born? Or do you have a birth certificate that causes you to be born? So what good is it to you? Well, in fact, we have a birth certificate because it shows our identity. It shows your identity, your origin, where you were born, the date you were born, and it can often actually identify your citizenship. So it is an identity and letting people know some facts about you and clarity about you. So another question, how many of you are married? Yeah, there's some of you that are married. I didn't ask how many you wish you were or not. But how many of you, when you got married, had a wedding ceremony? Okay, most of us had a wedding ceremony. Why? Why did you have a wedding ceremony? I can't hear anybody at home, but you know what? When we have a wedding ceremony, the wedding ceremony is in fact inviting other people to join with us as we declare our commitment to one another for life. Do we have to have a wedding ceremony to in fact make that declaration? Well, we can make that declaration. We can commit ourselves to be married to one another before God, but we have this celebration. We invite people to come and celebrate together with us as we kind of declare before the world our commitment to one another. In some ways, again, you have to be careful you don't stretch too far. Baptism is a little bit like a wedding ceremony. You can get married without the wedding ceremony as we know it. And a birth certificate, you can be born without a birth certificate. But it demonstrates your identity. Now, baptism has been part of the Christian church for some 2,000 years. And when we look back at the history of baptism, we discover that baptism actually predates the Christian church. We find that at the time of Christ, when he was on this earth, that baptism was a common thing in the community and the world around them at that time. When people would be baptized to declare to people around them that they are now a follower of or a disciple of so-and-so. So if there was somebody who had people that were following them and their teaching, and teaching was a whole lifestyle commitment and following, they in fact would be baptized in water to declare to the people around, I am now a follower of so-and-so. That's why when John the Baptist began to baptize people, that was a common thing. People would come and identify publicly with the message that John was proclaiming. They were saying, I am committing myself to this message. And that's why when Philip was with the Ethiopian on the road and the fellow said, well, what's to stop me from being baptized? That wasn't a new thing to him. It was a common thing for people to be baptized. But then we find that when the church began, as we often identify, the church began at Pentecost. At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and 3,000 people came to faith, there were 3,000 people were baptized that day to declare they were now followers of Jesus Christ. In the post-New Testament church in history, we find in the early writings that there are instructions on baptism, on what they were to do and how they were to do that, and some of those practices we don't want to continue today. But we learned some interesting things. But one of the things that happened is in that time, just after the New Testament period, there was great persecution to people who were followers of Jesus. And so if you declared your faith in baptism, you would face persecution immediately. And what they found is that people were not necessarily prepared to defend their faith. And so they decided to wait a year after a person had come to faith, a year before they would be baptized, so that they could have that 1 year of instruction, so that when that time came and they then made it public, that they would be prepared to face the persecution that they would face. And then as we continue to read in history, we find that teaching started to come into the church where they began to teach that it was the act of baptism that saved you. And so you needed to be baptized in order to be saved. And so if you died before you were baptized, you wouldn't be saved. And so they said, well, then we have to baptize everybody, including children and infants, so that if they were to die, that they will in fact be saved. And so the teaching came in that you were saved through the act of the church. And then we find in the early 4th century when Constantine was the emperor of Rome was converted to Christianity, he declared the entire Roman Empire to be Christian and required everybody to be baptized as a Christian, as part of the Roman Empire. And whenever they would conquer a new country, they would require all the people to be baptized because they were now Christian in the Roman Empire. Salvation was seen to be through the church, and you were baptized to become part of the church, but it also became a national identity, as now you were baptized into the Roman Empire. Now, we find that continued until the Reformation, when Martin Luther, in his famous October 31st of 1517, began this, whether he began it was a catalytic event, when he declared, as he saw in Scripture, that salvation is by faith alone. It's by our personal faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism was not required for salvation. It was our faith that was required for salvation. Salvation was not through the church. It was through our faith in Jesus Christ. And so he brought it back to where our faith is what brings us salvation. Now, he still continued to use baptism as a means of national identity. We're skipping through a lot. We're not going to cover all the facets of baptism as we see in history, or we'd be here a long time. But then we also find a group that we're called the Anabaptists, that taught that salvation was by faith, but they also said that baptism was a symbol of your personal faith, so that it was a symbol of you personally having chosen to follow. So it was your decision, it wasn't somebody else's decision. And so they began the practice of what they called believer's baptism, where only those who had personally responded in faith to Jesus Christ were baptized. And so as adults, as they came to faith, they baptized one another, and were rebaptized, if you were, and thus the term Anabaptist, so on. So that's just a bit of a snippet of some of the history. Now, it's all fine, and I love the study of history. Actually, I wrote my master's paper on baptism and membership, so we could be here a long time. But what's important is, what does the Bible actually tell us about baptism? We can often be caught in what the church has always taught, what my family has always told me. But what does the Bible actually say about baptism? Well, in the New Testament, we find that baptism is, in fact, a public sign that a person has chosen to follow Jesus Christ with their whole life. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave specific instructions to his followers to baptize any who came to faith, who became followers of Jesus. Baptism, then, was a step of obedience to Jesus Christ. And he gave specific instructions for his followers to baptize others that came to faith. So when a person chooses to be baptized, it's an act of submission and obedience to Jesus. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Baptism then was an outward sign of something that has already happened to a person inwardly in their spiritual nature. It's an outward act symbolizing, signifying inward spiritual change. It signifies a turning from sin and surrendering to God. And we're repeatedly in Scripture encouraged, told to turn away from sin and to trust Jesus Christ for our salvation and then to be baptized. We don't earn something or deserve something because we are baptized. Salvation is a free gift to us that we receive by faith. And baptism then is an outward visible step that we take to bear witness to that spiritual reality of our new faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is also a public identification with Jesus, with identifying with Jesus in his death, in his burial, and resurrection. So when a person is baptized, they're taking a stand to identify with Jesus and saying that, in fact, what Jesus did on the cross, he did for me. When he died on the cross, he died for me. Now, not only for me, but he died for me, and I recognize that. He died for me, and he rose from the dead so that I can experience life. Jesus' sacrifice is effective in my life as I've responded in faith to him. Now, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" This is kind of in follow-up to the whole kind of rhetorical conversation Paul has by talking about God's grace is greater than any of our sin. None of our sin is too big that God's grace isn't great enough for it. And he says, so should we go on sinning so that grace will increase? He says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So through baptism, you are telling everyone that you have received something that you did not deserve or ever could earn on your own merit. And you're telling everyone that you've received forgiveness for your sins and have received a new life, something that Jesus Christ accomplished all on his own, and you have received by faith. Now, some people think that they're not good enough to be baptized, or they're not yet ready to be baptized. But that's really not what baptism represents. Because in baptism, we're humbly declaring, Jesus Christ has done this for me, what I could not do for myself. You're proclaiming a grace that you don't deserve, and the love and the forgiveness and the mercy that Jesus has shown to you. You're declaring that your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. So through your baptism, you're telling everyone that through Jesus, you are now a new person. 1 Corinthians 5:16 to 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In baptism, you are giving a public witness to how you came to faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your devotion to him, and your declaration that you will live out your life to his glory in gratitude for what he has done for you. Now, here at Broadview Church, we practice what we talked about as believer's baptism, meaning that we practice baptism for those that are old enough to have made a personal choice to follow Jesus in response to Jesus. And it is their personal choice to be baptized. It is their testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. We also practice baptism by immersion, where a person that is being baptized is immersed and fully immersed in the water. And I believe this method best symbolizes what it talks about in Romans chapter 6, where it talks about being buried with Christ. And so we lower a person into the water, representing being buried with Christ, being dead to my old self and sin, and then being raised to a new life of following Jesus. So that's the symbolic picture of baptism as we do immersion. Following Christ is a life commitment of actively following in discipleship. It's not just a one-moment decision. It is a life change. It's an eternal life change. And so today, as millions of others over the last 2,000 years, we have 9 individuals who have experienced the unique symbolic act of baptism. Now, if we were in other parts of the world, this act of baptism, in fact, may have put their lives at risk. So that puts it into a bit of perspective. Dealing with a little bit of cold water is insignificant compared to risk of people around the world. So they've been baptized over the last few weeks. And because we couldn't gather together as we like to do as a full church family down by the lake to have the baptism, because we couldn't do that with the numbers, we had four different events where people were baptized, and these nine individuals were baptized over those four different events. But we took a video of them sharing their story, and where they had a sponsor that spoke into their lives, we took video of that, and then the baptism itself. So we're going to show that video of those nine baptisms. So I invite you to follow along, enjoy, and celebrate what God has done, and let God speak to your heart as we watch here this morning and as we join in their baptism.